We'll sing a few songs this evening, and as we go through, I think what I'll do is explain very briefly before each set of songs a little bit about why sometimes I select the songs that I do and why I lead them away, and suggest some ideas for new song leaders, but also suggest some ideas for the congregation for you to think about. And as we go through, think about what songs that are beneficial to you, and try to think about the reasons why. And we'll talk about some of these things tomorrow as well. But to begin, we'll sing songs of praise. I've categorized all of the songs. Whoop, did I get a clip?
So Johnny.
Oh, yeah, I did it.
Johnny.
No, he's going to do it from the back.
Yeah. You made that. Give him a cue. So.
The songs I'll do at the beginning, a lot of times I like to begin a worship with songs of praise and make sure that I'm not picking songs that are directed towards me and how I feel about myself and woe is me and boy my problems, or start something off that's rather dirge-like. In general, the purpose we've come together is to worship God and to make sure whatever song I select, it's thrown outward. And then the second idea is to make sure that it has some type of a tempo that is a little more uplifting, encouraging, inspiring, rather than a slower tempo. And then these three, I'm going to demonstrate too. What I do sometimes is rather than lead five verses or four verses of the same song, sometimes if we move through several back to back, they kind of fit together. Some of your songbooks are organized this way, where the songs are, you just turn the page and go to the next one, and you turn the page and go to the next one. So what I'll do, song leaders, just so you'll know, if I pull it off, I'll start with O Worship the King. And when I get to the last note of the Do, which is an A, then I'll drop down to a So, which is E natural. And that will be the starting note for the next song, that I can flow the thought right into the next song. And then when I'm done with that song, I'll move up a half step to Do, and then find my Mi for the next song. A little bit complex, but if you practice it, you can do it. So we'll begin. This is O Worship the King.
O Worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing. Yeah.
Let's start one more time. Is it not on the screen?
It's no, it's different.
Show me the next slide after this.
No, go down.
So that's still Holy Holy. Yeah. The next song is Here I Am to Worship on there. If you want to, but it's in 179 in this book, and then we can move on to the next one just a bit. There it is. That's the slide. Let's do it again. Go me.
Light of the world, you set down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. He came to Tampa into the big orchestra and
theater downtown and talked, told stories. And it was a packed house. I don't know, 10,000, 15,000. I don't know how many it held. But he would just walk out in the middle of the stage. And this is downtown Tampa. And he would start singing an old hymn. Just start singing, just standing there. And before long, he never asked anybody to join in or do anything like that. And it wasn't, you know, 10 seconds, all of a sudden 10,000 people are singing these old songs that everybody knew in the audience. And it was a very powerful moment because everybody was singing from memory, and you didn't realize all these people from different walks of life. Everybody had a tendency to do that song. So for you young song leaders, every once in a while, pick a golden oldie that everybody knows and blend that in with your mix of the new songs that you're excited about. Just in case things don't go so well. I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
I'm going to have to grow a little bit.
So, mi, do, mi, so. When peace by the river of death endeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
It is well,
it is well with my soul.
How many of y'all like that song? It just, yeah, it does something special. So you'll notice I'm also singing only a few verses of each of these. Sometimes we have a tendency to want to sing every verse of every song because they're there, and I know people have different philosophies about that. But sometimes wanting a little bit more of the song when you end it is better than wishing that the song was over by the time you get there, depending. Some of the poetry is beautiful and it demands it. But I found that sometimes you can pick the poetry out of the song to fit the occasion. So I generally choose the verses that fit what it is that I'm trying to say in that moment or what's going along with the sermon that's coming up, and I try to choose those verses. Because the last thing I want to do is sing four verses of a song when three would leave everybody with a better upbeat feeling than four would. But I know some people disagree with me, but I just wanted to explain that's why I do it, and generally it moves things along better. People are generally ready for a change after about three, depending on how many verses and chorus and songs there are. Also, I've included songs children love to sing. You guys have a lot of kids in the audience, and sometimes we forget that they're there to involve them in the worship service rather than always have them doing other things. So, I always like to, on occasion, every time I get up, if it's possible, to sing something that the kids can sing easily, or that they know already, so they feel like they can participate. Let's do Oh And so in this song, as you sing this time and you follow the line, at the ends of phrases, try to relax your voice just a little bit and let the phrases breathe. And see if you get a little bit more out of it than you did before. You alone, all of the parts go up on the beginning of the refrain quite high. And that may be a spot where you want to bring out that part just a little bit more. This is the second verse. So we go me.
I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my
thank you.
So for me, I sometimes prefer to use, it gives a nice texture that's different, all of these four-part harmonies, one after the other, and then we have beautiful textures, like a single melody being sung in a group. So sometimes I like to do that, especially if I want to do a song that's a little too difficult, or we haven't learned it yet. If it's newer, we can do that. This is one of those that has lots of verses. There are six verses in this song, and sometimes you can do all six, but depending on the tempo, it will take up a lot of time. And so I've chosen three verses to do, verses 1, 2, and 3.
No soul.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Sometimes in a service, if the prayer is scheduled in a certain way, we can utilize these songs that kind of move our minds toward the prayer is coming. Or we can sing a song that is actually a prayer itself, in addition to the verbal prayer that's about to be said. So that's what we're going to do this evening with this selection. Father, hear the prayer we offer. And then after we sing the three verses of this song, we'll be led in prayer.
No me.
So now you're a little bit distracted by trying to read the music as we're going through that. A little bit, right? Or at least your concentration is divided. So let's all do, now that you've heard the melody, let's all do the melody for the next two verses before we sing. And let's focus on words as we prepare. Just the melody only. Sing the soprano.
From the rocks of all
So I'm a simplicity guy, and I'm a poetry guy. That song that Eliza sang is actually one of my favorite songs in the entire book. And just because the words were simplistic, but sometimes they're so simple, they just kind of open up, they're so deep at the same time. But they're beautiful. Poetically, the song is beautiful, and also the song is well written. It's simple, and the writing of the song allows you to focus. So I hope that is one that you add to your list of songs that you want to do. The next one is "O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee." And this one's similar. It could be a prayer song, could be a song of meditation and reflection. Looking inward. This one was able to function a little bit better because the harmony was a little bit easier. your natural disposition towards the phrasing in the text just came out. And I thought that was beautiful. Very, very nice. So then we go to other... Now I've done several songs in a slower tempo, and you can only do that for so long before you really need to pick it back up in some way. Aaron Copland wrote a book about programming for the symphony orchestra. So programming is thought about in everything. I've noticed Tip was showing me slides of how services are organized here. I got to peek it last week, or I'm sure that's an old slide that you were showing. But that idea of organization and order and helping everything flow through can be very conducive to staying focused on what it is that you're doing. So Aaron Copland wrote, he put it almost, I guess, like an Italian meal, maybe, where you have your antipasta, I don't know, but you have antipasta. But let's do it American. You have the salad, comes out first, and then you do the main course, and then dessert for the end. And so that's how, at least in Aaron Copland's mind, the American composer, he would say, well, we're going to start with maybe a little Mozart, and then we'll get a little heavy, and we'll do a little Rachmaninoff, and then for dessert, we'll do a little Copland, probably. That was the idea. And so you can program different things in different ways. Literature writers do the same thing. They have a climactic event at a certain part. Movie script writers, they do the same thing, a climactic event. And it works. And you can play with it, but you don't want to do too many songs in a row that are too slow, I think. Songs of affirmation are songs of praise, but they're also songs, songs of affirmation. The idea is that confidence, in reiterating your confidence in what it is that you know. And sometimes this is a good feeling. This is one of my favorites to do that. I know that my Redeemer is.
I know that my Redeemer lives in
that I saw, the songs that you're looking at, number one. songs of submission, songs of poetic reflection, songs that we can contemplate. How many of you, sorry for the constant show of hands, so at least it gives you something to do. How many of you know Mary's Children? This is one that if you can, as we sing this song, you can look away from the screen, you can look off into space, you've got sunset over there. This is perfect. That's something beautiful to look at and something just to contemplate and to revel in this song.
Oh,
Also, sometimes some of these oldies keep popping up in different hymn books. A lot of the songs are in the 50s, the Golden Era, maybe with the Gospel Quartet. And so a lot of times these songs have some very powerful words. They don't really have the same color as they do when the male quartet sings them, but they can still function quite nicely in a group. And a lot of people absolutely love these songs, and sometimes with a vote of them as a possibility. This is His Grace. So we'll sing it a little bit softer than the song we just sang.
Come home, come home, come home, you are.
we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you.
Thank you.
If you would, let's stand. We're going to sing one more. And these are songs I like to stir to action as you think about the things that we should do, ought to do, and then to take courage to do them. Much like the songs of affirmation.
Soldiers of Christ,